Welcome to Food for Thought, the place to explore, celebrate, and manifest a life motivated and defined by unconditional compassion and optimal wellness. Today's episode is Know Your Numbers, Cholesterol, Triglycerides, and Homocysteine. I know, it's fascinating. Before you begin, my name is Colleen Patrick-Gaudreau. You can find me at joyfulvegan.com. You can find my books wherever books are sold, and you can join me in my online vegan cooking classes. This podcast is possible because of the support of listeners like you. So please join others by going to patreon.com/ColleenPatrickGaudreau. And thank you so much in advance. I shared with you already, know your numbers, blood pressure. I want to do the same thing for these numbers that a lot of people hear thrown around but don't know what they mean. In this case, cholesterol, triglycerides, and homocysteine. So I've said before that I think people are often surprised that they can see changes after 30 days. Do listen to the episode called Why 30 Days to know why it is absolutely possible and most likely that you will see tangible, measurable, physiological differences in such a short period of time. So I'm going to encourage you to grab a pen and paper if you want to keep track of this. If you are a patron at $10 a month and above, you will get the transcript. If you have a copy of the 30-Day Vegan Challenge, you will also see these numbers. So we throw around words like cholesterol and good and bad cholesterol, though most of us don't know what this stuff is or what it does, what it means. So what is it? What does it do? What does this mean? Made in the liver of animals, cholesterol is a fat-like substance we consume in our diets via meat, dairy, and eggs if we're not vegan. If we are vegan, we don't consume any cholesterol at all because there is no cholesterol in plant foods because plants don't have livers. Bottom line, end of story. So our bodies, because we are animals, produce cholesterol, right? That's how cholesterol is in the body. It's produced by animals in the liver. But we have no requirement to consume dietary cholesterol. So again, dietary cholesterol exists only in animal flesh and fluids. There's no dietary cholesterol in plants. And while we, as animals with livers, make cholesterol, we have no requirement to consume cholesterol. The cholesterol made by our bodies travels through the bloodstream in little packages called lipoproteins. Lipo referring to fat. Lipoproteins. So we hear about this LDL and HDL. What are they? They stand for low density lipoproteins, LDL, and high density lipoproteins. So LDL, low density lipoproteins, they're considered bad cholesterol. They deliver cholesterol to the body, High density lipoproteins, or HDL, is considered the good cholesterol. They take cholesterol out of the bloodstream, When there's too much cholesterol in the bloodstream, it's a major risk factor for heart and blood vessel disease. To determine cardiovascular disease risk, doctors look at total cholesterol, LDL, HDL, and the ratio of the latter two, the ratio of LDL to HDL. Now, total cholesterol. The average cholesterol level in the United States is so high, it's around 200, that recommendations indicate that levels must be reduced to below 200. Now, although it's true that people with a level of 200 are at lower risk than those at, say, 235, they are still at a significantly high risk. In fact, about 35% of people who have heart attacks have cholesterol levels between 160 and 200. After decades of research, including long-time landmark studies such as the Framingham Heart Study and the China Diet Study, the evidence is clear that the optimal level for total cholesterol is below 150. What's more is with a total cholesterol level under 150, you don't really have to concern yourself as much with the further breakdown of the good and the bad because you're naturally going to be there. You'll naturally be there. LDL, optimum number is less than 100, and LDL is between 40 and 60. So total optimal level we're talking about is evidence shows that below 150, there's really no risk for heart disease, although the American Heart Association and other organizations encourage people to get below 200. That's still high. And evidence shows that heart attacks occur between 160 and 200. So 150 is really the number to shoot for. And when we're talking about the breakdown of the numbers, the LDL, it's recommended that you have less than 100, and for the HDL, between 40 and 60. Now, it's important to note that a nutrient-dense, plant-based diet makes the HDL portion of cholesterol lower because all portions of the total cholesterol are reduced. In other words, don't be misguided into thinking something is wrong when your HDL level, the good cholesterol, falls. On the other hand, a very high HDL level, like 60 or above, is not always a great sign either, because it means the HDL, remember the lipids that have to push the cholesterol out of the bloodstream, they have to work harder to get the cholesterol out of the bloodstream. So the more cholesterol there is, the more work it has to do. So that's why you don't want like, oh, my HD levels are for like 100. No, you don't want that. Between 40 and 60 is optimal, and the bad cholesterol you want to be less than 100. Okay, so that's cholesterol. And so I encourage you to get your blood work done, look at those numbers. You can look at them with a health professional, but there's some numbers for you to really understand what they mean. Then you have triglycerides. Triglycerides are similar to cholesterol in that they're fatty substances, and they're also made in the liver and they circulate in the bloodstream. High levels of triglycerides indicates a high risk of cardiovascular disease and are associated with pancreatitis. Although medical establishments consider triglyceride levels of 100 to 150 to be normal or good, many experts feel that optimal fasting blood triglyceride levels, because don't forget, most of these are tested on fasting, including the cholesterol, that optimal fasting blood triglyceride levels should be 50 to 150, right? So starting at 50 as opposed to starting way high up at 100. So starting at 50, a range up to 150, levels of 200 to 500 are considered high. So those are your numbers for your triglycerides. Your homocysteine. Homocysteine is an amino acid that's normally found in small amounts in the blood. Higher levels are associated with increased risk of cardiovascular disease, venous thrombosis, dementia, and Alzheimer's disease. So you don't want high levels of homocysteine in your blood. The optimal range is between 6 and 8. Now, keeping homocysteine at levels associated with lower rates of disease requires both adequate intake of vitamin B12 through supplements or fortified foods, and folate, and getting the folate through green leafy vegetables is recommended. But if you are low, and again, work with your doctor on this, then you can take folic acid through multivitamins, but you really want to be getting your folate, evidence shows, through food and not through a single nutrient. So you'll get folic acid in your multivitamin most likely, but you don't have to take an extra folic acid. But again, work with your doctor on that, because there's some changes regarding those numbers if you're pregnant, if you're lactating, etc., etc. But the point is, one of the ways to help keep homocysteine at those levels associated with lower rates of disease includes taking adequate levels of B12. So it's just another reason to make sure you're getting your B12. And that goes for everybody, not just those of us who are vegan. So there you have it. It's so important, I think, to be armed with this information so that you're not just listening to, you know, kind of what the masses say and to what a lot of, you know, these large medical organizations are very biased. And because they're already working with people who are at such high levels, they're encouraging them to get down, which is good, but it's not going to be good enough. And so do you want good enough, or do you want to prevent disease, right? I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to. So I hope that helps you make sense of some of the numbers you see when you get your blood work done. If you do take something like the 30-Day Vegan Challenge, or you're encouraging others to do so, get your blood work done beforehand, just so you have a really good understanding. Even if you've gotten it done 6 months beforehand and you haven't changed much in that 6 months, you have a good understanding of what your blood work is. Then get it, do the 30-Day Vegan Challenge, for instance, and then get your blood work done after that. And you will be very interested to see what you see. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know what you think. As always, don't do nothing because you can't do everything. Do something, anything for the animals. This is Colleen Patrick-Goudreau. Thanks for listening.